Hey everyone, welcome back to Kiddos with Gaming. I'm Sully.
And I'm Levi, and today we have a guest.
Yeah, we're here with Levi's brother Tanner. Say hi.
Oh my god! Am I on the world-renowned podcast Kiddos with Gaming?
No, you're on the awful new podcast Kiddos with Gaming.
If you say so.
How you doing today, Tanner?
I'm doing good, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man.
Since we're not just, you know, focused on what we should talk about,
You know, I feel like we should ditch the notebook today, because I feel like we don't really get these fresh ideas, we don't have the sense of realism with it.
Okay. And we really need to talk about TF2, because you've been saying let's talk about it. This is going to be more of a down-low episode, we're not going to have too many extreme things to talk about, you know. We're probably just going to be casually talking about small things that interest us along the way. Tanner's experience with gaming and all that. Is that okay with you guys? You guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's right. I think we should talk about TF2. We don't know. I don't really know how to get started in TF2.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think... So, you should start, and I can just chip in, because I don't...
Yeah, I can help out with this. So, I have played TF2 for a long while. I used to be I used to play a lot more than I do now. But the game itself is really fun, and I feel like there's so much you can do with the different different types of weapons and loadouts that you can do.
Yeah, like,
and
demo night is really fun.
You really don't know what to expect. You really don't know what to expect. Because of how many different loadouts people can have, and you really just have to adapt to that. And it also depends on, just the team composition and how it works. Because if they have, like, 4 pyros, for example, then you would want to go something like soldier or scout so that you can dodge them or do more damage. So you really just have to adapt.
Or if you had a pussy, you'd go down on it and charge in those pyros.
Do I have to do me or you?
You can do it. Right now we're playing some Super Mario, not Super Mario.
Mario Party 6.
Mario
seven.
Party 6, so.
No, 7.
7.
So, right now we're playing Mario Party 7 for the GameCube, which is a very fun game. And we'll get sort of into that topic later in this. Yeah, but right now we are on TF2. And the game itself is great, and the thing that is, like, what I love about this game is you don't need the highest quality computer, you don't need amazing graphics to actually beat this game, to play this game.
Yeah, and it's also extremely fun. Like, you know, I know people give Minecraft a lot of shit, but it's kind of like Minecraft for older generation, where, you know, you can pretty much, if you know what you're doing, you can create anything, you know? You can edit maps, and you can, like, make your stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And you know what you're doing. You can do anything. You don't need an extreme computer to run it, but having an extreme one helps. But you don't need one, and it really just is something anyone can get their hands on, you know. And if you're saying, well, I'm having trouble getting some achievements to get some guns, you can get in servers, and you can just get all those achievements if you really just want the guns.
Yeah.
Which is what, you know, me and Sully have done. Call us losers if you want to, but we have just gotten those free achievements and those guns, but... You know, but it's good, though. It doesn't remind me of the thing, but you can do whatever you want.
Before you go on, can you get off of this topic? Can I just put my 2 minutes in? I think it's the comparison of TF2 and Minecraft. I don't know if that's... I agree with that.
You can... The point is, in Minecraft, you can do whatever you want, but it doesn't take as much skill.
Yeah,
in TF2, you can do whatever you want. It's free. It's open to anyone because it's all on a computer. And you can pretty much do... Whatever you want, you know, you can just kind of do a server, and or you can play by yourself if you really want to. That's what I mean. I don't mean, like, it's got a way better community than it, first of all, you know, and the Minecraft, and it's not Minecraft, but the basic, when you go down to its essentials of how it makes it feel and what you can do, I feel like it's kind of like Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fundamentally different than Minecraft, because it's just not the same game. Like, gameplay-wise, it's different, and yes, you can do that, but TF2 is It's a multiplayer game, and you can't, like, there's no single-player kind of aspect to it. Minecraft is different, however, because it is a single-player game, and it was given multiplayer, like, stuff, but I don't know. And it's just fundamentally different. This is my two cents. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Alright, so I think, I just want to say something about the progression system. I really like the random drops in TF2. You know, they are really good, because if you're having struggle getting a gun, you're struggling, bam! Got yourself a gun.
Wham, bam.
And sometimes you can get way better guns than your friends for no reason. And so it makes someone like Sullivan really annoyed with me.
Yeah, because, like, for someone who has been playing TF2 for so long, I don't have that many items, I don't have any unusuals, and stuff like that.
I like the random drops, because, you know, it just kind of brings in that point of luck. But, you know what, I see where you're coming from, where if you have bad luck, and you've been playing for years, so I've been playing, I think I have a total of maybe 12 or 6 hours on TF2 right now. I don't play too much, but I play a basic amount, I'm casual. You know, you've been playing for, like, I would say, like, hundreds or maybe thousands of hours, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say thousands of hours.
Hundreds, right?
I'd say, like, maybe 100.
Alright, but he doesn't have some of these items, and it's kind of unfair, but it's also, I like it because it worked out in my favor. But, you know, I think I'm going to change my opinion mid-podcast and say it's not that great, because you do have people like Sullivan who have been just waiting and they can't get these items when I've been playing, like, my most played class has got his 2 hours on it, so.
Yeah. My most played, at least on my main account, because I've had a bunch of different accounts on Steam and stuff, I think I have, my most played character is Scout with about 8 hours on it, but that's just usually me messing around in, like, community servers and stuff like that. That's another thing. In this game, there are so many community servers. There are so many community servers that you can just have so much fun with, and there's a bunch of different things that you can do. If that makes sense. Sorry, that's kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know.
You can do anything in the game, you know?
Yeah, like,
There's no barriers holding you back of what to do. You know, unless it's cheating. But, like, have you played 2-4, like, that map?
It's
2-4 just made bigger, though.
Yeah, it's super long, and it's such a fun mode.
Yeah.
So, there's a bunch of stuff that was released, like, times 10, times 100, times 1,000, times 1,000,000, etc. And I don't know, I feel like that's really interesting, because, like, it gives the player base so much versatility. There's a bunch of fan-made maps, that,
wasn't there a fan-made map of, like, going down the 9 thing, like, the 9 sins of hell or something?
Hmm?
I feel like there's this fan-made map where you go down the circle and it's, like, you're going down the ways of hell.
I've never played that.
I think it might be a thing. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah. Anyways, so, I don't know. The game is, it has a bunch of versatility, and it's really interesting.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to kill? What are you supposed to do with this? Sorry. What are you doing?
Hold on, oh, I almost had it.
What do you press?
Right now we're playing Mario Party, and we're in the middle of a game, a game mode, and you kind of have to be paying attention to the certain, types.
So I think I'll take this over while they're doing this.
Am I playing?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I'm gonna take this phone.
How do you move?
But basically, I think I think let's change the subject. TF2 is a great game, and it deserves more recognition. Tanner, let's talk about your experience with gaming. You're a guest. Let's hear from you.
I don't know. What are the games that I've played recently that I really liked? The new Assassin's Creed game.
Assassin's Creed Origins?
Yes, Assassin's Creed Origins. It's incredibly fun. It's really entertaining. It's one of the open world games that I've really, really enjoyed. And there's so much stuff to do, and it's just very entertaining. The levels are a little, I don't know, it's kind of annoying when you get to, or not annoying, it's, I don't know, it's, you have to level up to get certain things, and that's a little grindy, but still, most of the side quests are really entertaining and cool. There's a lot of, like, tombs and stuff that you get to explore, and though that's not my favorite part, it's very entertaining.
Yeah, didn't you get the cuckoo from, like, Final Fantasy?
Yeah, there's a... there was a, like, a DLC thing for Chocobo, Mount. Yeah, and so that was pretty cool. But, yeah, and I got that from a tomb. And it's just, my favorite thing to do in the game, though, is to beat forts and stuff and, clear out, like, what are they called? Yeah, just forts, I guess. I don't know. I really like the stealth aspect of it. The combat's good. That's still good. I don't know. It's kind of hard to concentrate.
But the combat, did they do something similar to what they did in For Honor? Wasn't the combat
For Honor?
Similar? Yeah, wasn't it similar?
No, it was not. For Honor has a completely different scheme.
Because, like, I was looking at it and it reminded me of it. I don't know why, though. I think it might have been...
No, it was... I've heard it being compared to Dark Souls, but For Honor is different.
Alright. I think we should actually, talk about, Lawbreakers. Do you guys think that?
Lawbreakers?
Yeah, it was this game made by Cliff Bleszinski.
I've actually never heard of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because it died within a week.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was trying to be the new Overwatch, and within a week, it had, like, it was just marketed very poorly, and, just died out.
Wasn't that just Battleborn, pretty much?
The point is, actually, let's not talk about this, but it died within a week, it was trying to be the next Overwatch. Mm-hmm. And now they're trying to do the next Battle Royale with Radical Heights, which is a free-to-play game.
I think Radical Heights is free?
Yeah. Free-to-play early access.
Versus free, or which one?
Radical Heights. It's a Battle Royale game released by the same company that released Lawbreakers. And I'm very nervous for it, because if they said it's a passion project made within 5 months, and Fortnite was a passion project that's been worked on since 2011... And I don't think it's a passion project. Otherwise, they wouldn't have submitted it so fast. You know, they wouldn't have brought it on Steam within 5 months. They would have waited a bit. And I feel like they're doing it for money, and I feel like they're not going to have as much heart and soul put into it. Because, you know, it doesn't seem like they care too much. Otherwise, they would have given it more time in the oven than just 5 months.
Mm. Yeah. That's understandable. I mean, I don't know.
But, like, it looks fun, though. It looks like it would be fun with your friends, you know, in the 80s aesthetic, you know, going around and just shooting people, getting money. It looks fun, you know. I'll give it that. But I don't think it will really stand the test of time. Like, you'll always be able to credit Fortnite and PUBG for being great games that brought, you know, they brought tons of people to a new genre.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we going to say about what are we going to say about Radical Heights? There's not much you can say about it besides it's trying to be like kind of what PUBG, where it's like it's got semi-realistic graphics, you know, but also Fortnite, when it's, you know, it's trying to be really cartoony and really fun and free. It doesn't feel like it's going to be a great game. It just feels like it's going to be kind of clunky. And saying it has great potential is not the same as saying it's a good game. Because everyone says it has great potential.
Levi, you know? I think you should refrain from giving criticism so early, since you haven't even played it at all, and you know very little about it, so.
Alright, well, I'm just saying, you know, it just, normally games take more than 5 months as a passion project, you know, because usually if it's a passion project, you don't have as much time to work on it, so it doesn't usually take just 5 months, you know? I mean, those developers must have had a lot of time. So, what do we want to talk about next?
I don't know.
We've, like, this is a 15-minute podcast, so I'll just go in and...
Yeah, we don't even have enough time to talk about stuff in...
No, we do our podcast.
Yeah.
It's 15 minutes right now.
Yeah, no.
So
let's talk about some DLCs, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You can go. Okay, so I am not one to complain about DLCs because of how much money I have spent on DLCs. Like, Destiny, for example. I have spent over $200 on that game. And I regret it, first of all. Because that wasn't smart, but I was like, yeah, I love this game, whatever.
And then it died really fast.
No, actually, it really didn't.
Really?
Because I don't know if I'm fucking under control. So you can't stop.
I didn't
stay on that, so I can look at the controls.
Dude, it's just practice. Alright, so Destiny is still alive? And Diamond?
Yeah, it's still a huge...
Oh, we have to get the things. Okay, I'll get an onion.
Alright, Tana, we're trying to do a podcast. We're just kind of playing casually, alright? You know, just, but I don't know. I think Destiny did terrible with DLCs. As fun as the game may be, right. You know, like you said, you love the game, you spent $200 on it. I'm not saying it's a bad game, but you never want to release a game where you have to buy the rest of the story. You know?
Yeah,
buying a story to finish the story, it's just not good. Then being asked to buy it again is not good. Being asked to buy it again is not good. You're not supposed to rebuy a story like 3 different times. You bought the main game, you should get the entirety of it, and you shouldn't. And that should be. They should have all been DLCs that weren't connected to the main story.
You know what
side
quest
stories.
You know
that
what?
You know that. Shoot, I just don't know. I don't like what Destiny did.
I don't know. If you have or not, but have you actually played Destiny before?
I have played Destiny. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Come on, talk.
Well, I was just gonna say that I don't really feel like your criticism is deserved, because the game itself was good. It had great multiplayer aspects, and it was so easy to meet different people, as you would need to find different groups for raids and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a great social game, you know. I really like what they've done with all that. I feel like everything besides having to buy, you know, all that DLC for the rest of the stories just kind of got, you know, a little fall, you know? I know there's developmental reasons for it. I heard that there's reasons where it was like there was something changed drastically right before it was released. Mm-hmm. So I get it, you know, I get it. It was something bad that happened. We can't change it.
Yeah.
But it is very annoying, and, you know, I don't think that was a small way that should have been handled.
I mean, to be fair, the game itself, it, like, the story, yeah, it wasn't so good, but the base game worked very well, and, like, everything, physics-based in it, all the different abilities, subclasses, and stuff like that, they all worked well together, and it created such a diverse competitive scheme. So I don't know. That's just my take on it.
Yeah, I feel like the gameplay is great. You know, I really I don't play too much Destiny, right? Because it's only my type of game. But when I was playing it, I did like the gameplay. You know, I thought it was fun, and I think it's very well deserved of its player base. You know, I would never argue and say it doesn't deserve that. However, I would argue and say, you know, I didn't really handle DLC the greatest. I'm going to assume you bought all the DLC, right?
I have.
Yeah. And it was all just connected to the same story, right?
No, it really wasn't. Well, I mean, the first two did, definitely. But once The Taken King came out, once Rise of Iron came out, it was a lot different in certain aspect.
So, maybe those two are fine, but I'm talking about, like, the first two that just continue the main story. You know?
Yeah, mainly just add-ons for, the main thing that everyone was excited for in those was more weapons and then the quote-unquote new raid, which was Crota's End, which, it was a great raid. I don't honestly like the other two raids that were added, which are Wrath of the Machine and King's Fall, which is Oryx. And I felt like they were just trying to get more through from the game. They were trying to revive it because at the time it was slowly dying. But the first two DLCs were great. The first one was all about... It was all about the Hive, and then the second one was all about the Fallen, which was really interesting, because there was so much that you could do with it, and I don't know, I've made many friends through playing on Destiny, and the game itself. I don't know, I feel like I'm really repetitive right now, but, I don't know, the raids were greatly, the first two raids were greatly made, and that's all I really have to say about it.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna be kind of repetitive too, but, yeah, I think, the gameplay about it is great. I think the level was, you know, great. And I liked it, you know, that was fun. I would never argue into that's not deserved, but just that DLC for the first two ones just kind of ticked me off, because it's like, you know, it's like, man, you know, that doesn't feel good, really, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like kind of a ripoff. I mean, for the other ones, it made sense, you know? It's like, okay, this just adding on, like DLC should. It adds, it doesn't take away, it doesn't give what was missing.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
The reason why why DLC exists still is because the price of games is going up and they don't want to change the price because it might turn off players. Like, the price of a game shouldn't be now like $70, $70-$75, but they keep it $60 because they don't want to freak out new players or players at all, because that's a lot of time, and that's why they have DLCs that are $20 and over, because they still need to pay for the thing. However, they just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to, they either have to have $70 for a game, for a full game, or they have to have DLC to the $60 ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Cuphead was $20, but that was more of a passion project, and
A passion project.
Cuphead should not have been $20 for all the time they put into it. And it was so well crafted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. I feel like I would have bought $60 to $30 for that game. It was great.
I would have paid so much money for that game because the game itself, it plays well. The bosses are difficult, which is really good. It actually makes you try, and it doesn't reward people.
It's not for laziness.
You know? Yeah, you actually have to try. You have to put in effort for this game.
Yeah, and
it's not something you can coast along.
And I never even finished Cuphead, but I still feel like I got so much time put into it. I just I feel like it's one of the greatest games, and I feel like I already got my money's worth.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Cuphead. I think one of the reasons for Cuphead's success is because of how much personality it has and how much how much its design of it, of the characters and the bosses,
mm-hmm.
like, just it just adds to the game so much. And I don't know, like, every boss has like a interesting and fun design, and the 1900s
vibe,
1930s vibe of, and like,
It's the 30s, right?
Like, yeah, I think it's the 30s. The cartoon style just really adds to it and is just makes it super unique. Oh, I should have waited some more. Sorry.
That's okay.
It
makes it really unique, and it gives it that voice not many games have. Because a lot of games now, they're just, like, most realistic graphics, and it just kind of... It kind of gets dull. I mean, they're, of course, great games with the realistic graphics, but none show as much personality as Cuphead does with its graphics. You know?
Yeah. I can see that.
So, we have about another half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let me open up my book to see what else we can talk about. Unless you guys think of anything. How about we talk about some microtransactions?
That's real. It was a hot topic a while ago with, like, Battlefront 2 and stuff like that.
I think it's always kind of a hot topic. It's always something that will be there, and we need to figure out a proper way to really tell developers we're okay with DLCs, but we're not okay with microtransactions. Because I bought DLCs.
Well, it's the same thing that I was saying about.
Yeah, I know.
I'm saying
we're okay with DLCs, but microtransactions aren't. That's what I'm saying. Because DLCs make sense. They might add another story to the game. They don't give you an edge. They just add. You know.
Yeah.
But with microtransactions, you know, unlike in a game of Breath of the Wild, when you get DLC, which it really just adds that, right? Mm-hmm. Microtransactions.
Once we get done with this thought, we should talk about Breath of the Wild.
Okay. We did in our first episode.
Okay, then never mind. Don't worry about it.
But it's like, you know, and then you have microtransactions. What in Call of Duty games? I loved Call of Duty, right? Mm-hmm. I loved. It was my shit. And then you know, Advanced Warfare came, right? I played a decent amount. Not Advanced Warfare. I think. Advanced, right? Or Infinite Warfare. Advanced, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was Ghost, then Advanced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Advanced Warfare, I liked it a lot. I think people hated it, but I really was fine.
Is that the one with the mech suit?
Yeah, I think first introduced mech suit.
Yes, it was.
You know, but then just kind of kept going on, spiraling out of control. And the last one, the last game I really enjoyed was, you know, Black Ops 3, and didn't even enjoy that. I only enjoyed Black Ops 3 because
I was in zombies. Wait, that's the last game you really enjoyed, or the last Call of Duty game?
Last Call of Duty game.
Okay, got it.
Because I only enjoyed that for the zombies, you know? I didn't enjoy the multiplayer of that at all, you know? I thought it was just bland, and I didn't really like it that much because it was like the same thing you just got, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't really find much enjoyment in it, and, you know, and I feel like Call of Duty, do the thing where you, like, can't buy skins anymore. Like, remember in Black Ops 2, we just kind of bought skins, you know?
Mm.
You can't do that anymore, and, you know, I don't know, I don't like that, and I think that needs to be taken away. Well, you can just buy the skin you want, and we shouldn't have to gamble on guns. You know, if I want to get this one gun, it should be, like they do in TF2, where it's an achievement, or, you know, it's a random drop, and it's not something you spend money on, you know?
Because
think about it, spending money on the lottery multiple times is annoying. Finding the lottery ticket that you just won for no reason is more fair if you are going to do that, you know? So either make it where you can straight up buy that gun, or make it where, you know, you just kind of randomly find them on the ground instead of having to go and pay to have a chance to randomly find them. So they're really the only two. Or make it an achievement, you know? Make it an achievement. Just, I think the best way to do it, go up to the old way of skins and buying the gun you want immediately, because everything else just seems really unfair. And it's just, because you have the one person who spent $1 just to grab one, and they get this exact thing this other guy wanted.
Yeah.
And that other guy spends all, like, $20 and can't get it, you know, and just really unfair. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I don't like it, and I feel like it's just kind of stupid, and I feel like it's just trying to... It has little respect for the consumer, you know? They don't really respect them, the consumer. Because they're saying, you know, we think you're just going to spend endless money to get what you want. And I don't... That's what I feel.
Yeah. I mean, that's understandable. I don't know. I've always taken part in microtransactions because they're usually quite, I don't know. They're not optional. They're not needed for some. I mean, some games definitely make it where it's pay to win. But I don't think that all games are like that. Like, for example, Overwatch. You can buy these loot boxes and get these cool sprays, skins, etc. And it doesn't like give any like, oh yeah, you have to do this, or else you won't win. And I admire that with some games, like another game with it that's been like kind of on the rise, which is Fortnite. You don't have to actually have any of these skins to be good at the game.
But Fortnite also is a great thing where they just let you straight up buy the skin you want, but you have the skin randomly comes up for purchase. And I think that's what most games should actually do. Where if there is a gun, don't make it like that. Make it where it randomly comes for purchase, so it's hard to get, not something you can just buy all the time. But make it where you can straight up buy it if you want it, you know? Because Overwatch is, you know, stole, it's great. You know, just things randomly come out, and you can get it then. And that's great. More games should do that. Get rid of this microtransaction with loot boxes, and just straight up do a thing where you have the store, and things occasionally come out where you can purchase it. And all the other times, you know, that's... Because it will make the thing rare, you know? So it will make it overpowered, and we can get it. It will make it rare. But it will also, you know, make it so it's not, it doesn't disrespect you and treats your intelligence, you know? It will just treat you better, I feel like. Sorry, I interrupted you. You go. So, Tanner, we want to know how do you feel about loot boxes, Tanner, and microtransactions and all that jazz?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a hard thing to really go off of because of, I mean, I don't know, it's such a vague topic in general. You can't really judge anything off of it. So I don't know how I'm trying to explain this, but I don't know. I think microtransactions, I don't think there should be more of them, but I think that it should be an option if players want to. I don't know. That could just be me. But
yeah, I get that.
Because I know a lot of people don't like microtransactions at all.
I don't like them when they're done wrong. I like them when they're done right, you know?
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, there's different, like, sense to it, if you think about it. There's different ways that marketers can actually do this, which is really interesting to me. Because of how, like, they market it a lot differently than some games. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to explain. But there are just some games that are pay to win, and it's kind of upsetting. And that's what I really admire about games like TF2, Overwatch, Fortnite, etc. Because these games, they give you an option. It's not pay to win like Injustice 2, Battlefront 2, etc. Stuff games like that where like you have to buy stuff to actually make your game better. And I don't know. I feel like they see where the money's at because people are willing to pay, but it's not fair to the consumers. Does anyone want to add on that?
No, I'm good. You know what we should talk about? The Wii.
The Wii?
Okay. Because I think the Wii was ahead. It was a very weird console. It was one of the most best-selling consoles, right? I'm pretty sure it's like a great console and really well selling, but the Wii, it's sort of very, it's quite the weird thing. See, that's what happened with the Wii, right? First get it, during its time you loved it, right? Then you get some sort of, then during the Wii U era, everyone hated the Wii. They're like, oh my god, you know, the motion, that's all so terrible and so annoying, right?
Yeah.
But then now in the Nintendo Switch era, everyone loves the Wii again. Like, you pop out the Wii at a party and everyone's going to be like, aw, yeah, man. You know?
Yeah.
This is kind of what happens, man. It's a very weird thing because it's been, you know,
alive, dead alive, and it's come back. People, and it's just quite the weird console, you know? But it's also a great console because you can play GameCube games on it, which not enough people do. And it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I never really played any GameCube games on this, on the Wii, because I didn't have many GameCube games, but I've basically grown up with the Wii other than, like, my Xbox. I played Mario Kart all the time, Wii Sports, stuff like that, and I don't know, I don't know. I feel a really, like, good sense of nostalgia. Not nostalgia, but, like, happiness, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I that could just be me.
Yeah, I think it might just be this nostalgia. Because all the people who grew up with the Wii are now, like, you know, in high school, middle school, college, right?
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, shoot, man, that's great. And people just love it now because of that. You know, what do you feel about the Wii, Tanner?
Tanner.
Uh-huh, what?
What do you feel about the Wii? Like, what's your opinions on it?
I don't know. I think it had a lot of good games. Super Mario Galaxy was really, it was really fun and really entertaining. Okay, Skyward Sword got some mixed reviews. I think some people liked it, some people didn't. I never played it, so I can't really give criticism to it.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that. I played mainly Twilight Princess, which was one of my favorite Zelda games. I highly recommend it if you haven't played it, because it's really open. It's a lot more versatile than a game like Ocarina of Time, in my opinion. And a lot of people might bash me for that because, like, oh, Ocarina of Time is, like, one of the fan favorite games. But I don't know. I feel like this, like, I feel like Twilight Princess had a lot of good, like, a lot of good parts to it because the gameplay felt nice. The game was pretty realistic, and that's what I really liked about it, because, like, the characters actually looked like real people rather than cartoons, and I felt like, wow, this is a lot cooler, and I don't know. I felt like it was one of the better games of the Zelda series, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
The Wii and the Switch had also really revolutionary, revolutionary, but different takes on, like, beloved franchises, like, Ocarina of Time, or, not Ocarina of Time, like, yeah, like,
you mentioned
Twilight Princess and, Skyward Sword. Those are very, actually, when I think about it, Zelda has been very different from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, huh.
Because, what I feel is they've taken a lot of creative liberty with the game, and just been able to go and, just do whatever, and people will still enjoy it because it's still the same base game, if we really think about it.
But not really.
No, but, like, what it is, in most games, it keeps the same sort of storyline. Ganon takes Zelda, you go save Zelda, you do stuff to save Zelda, etc.
Yeah, but the story doesn't make the game, you know? They're still completely different. Like, the first Zelda and the second Zelda are completely different. One's top-down, and the other's a side-scroller. Then, I guess most of them have been open world, but
I don't really know. I mean,
but Majora's Mask is completely different from Twilight Princess or Breath of the Wild. You know?
Yeah, I get it, yeah. Yeah, I haven't played too much of the Legend of Zelda games, but yeah, every game is really different, you know. You had things like the Wind Waker, but the Wind Waker is somehow also related, you know, to Majora's Mask, and they're really one happy game compared to a really dark game about death and one about just sailing the seas, you know. To think those are connected, you know, and those are the same person, like the same soul, you know, because I'm pretty sure when it goes to the timeline, it's like the same soul. I'm pretty sure
Yeah, same soul, might be different timeline, you know, because of the split up timelines. But, yeah, I just, you know, it's, I think it's really nice. I do like all those different takes on it, you know, and I'm glad they all have that creative liberty. So, I mean, it only adds when creators get creative freedom.
I personally did not like Wind Waker. I preferred the older art style from other games, other Zelda games, that is. And I feel like I didn't really like the gameplay. I didn't like how it was super cartoony. It was the era of Toon Link and Toon Zelda, whatever. And I felt like that wasn't... It really just wasn't my cup of tea. Because, like, I don't know. I felt like that Zelda is supposed to be cartoony, but it's not supposed to be that level of cartoony. Because it looked like a little kid's cartoon. And I feel like, with the gameplay as well of Wind Waker, I feel like that's what they were trying to get at. I feel like Wind Waker was supposed to be sort of an introduction to the Zelda series for a lot of younger kids. But when you're playing it, when you're a little bit older, you start to realize how this game isn't really that good. And, I don't know,
disagree. I think the art style allowed it to make a lot of creative liberties. Like, it just made it a lot of more interesting things that they could do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, just a lot of the stuff. Like, what are they called? Like, the Rito. That art style really lended itself to that, and the... What are the small tree people called?
What's the Rito and Wind Waker?
Those are the... Yeah, the Rito. That's where they started. What are the tree people called? I forgot.
I don't know. I haven't played it in so long.
Okay. But the tree people in there, they're just really adorable, and they wouldn't have worked well in a different art style. And all the bosses are...
The Koroks.
The Koroks really lent themselves to the art style, and it's still, like... Even in Breath of the Wild, it still kept the art style that it had in Wind Waker.
Well, not exactly.
It's very similar.
Not really, no.
I mean, no, if you actually think about it, Wind Waker is a lot more cartoony.
Just for the Koroks.
Oh, yeah.
The Koroks are, like, they have virtually been unchanged.
Yeah. I completely agree. I agree with you on how they were able to take a lot of creative liberty, but I feel like the game, it didn't feel like a normal Zelda game. It felt kiddie, and it didn't feel like the serious, like, oh, we need to save the princess or else Ganon's gonna, like, kill her or something.
Yeah, but then we come to this, like, everybody says, like, what makes a Zelda game, but, like... It's... No, like, what would you describe as a Zelda game? Because all of them are so different. Like, they're the Minish Cap and Twilight Princess are nothing alike. They're nothing alike.
Never played Minish Cap, so I can't get my...
I know, I've...
on that.
Yeah, but they're, like... People say, like, oh, this has to make a Zelda game or that, like that. But they have completely different art styles and gameplay and... Like, each Zelda game has a little, like, mechanic that's different... That, like, kind of makes the game. Like, the Minish Cap let you shrink down, and Twilight Princess had Wolf Link.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you can say that, like, this isn't a Zelda game because blah, 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 but then most of the criteria doesn't fit for any of the other games. Because it's been so vast, and there's so much, like, what's the word?
Genre.
There's so much, not genre, but there's so much different things. It's so broad. A Zelda game is so broad that it's to the point where it defies its own criteria.
Okay, yeah, I can see where that comes. But, like, from the games that I've played of Zelda, which are, like, one of the original ones, I think it was Zelda 2 or something. Or, no, it was The Adventure of Link. Majora's Mask, Ocarina of Time, Breath of the Wild, Twilight Princess. From what I've played, they all have sort of this more serious, darker vibe, except for Breath of the Wild. And that, like, these games, they're sort of... They're not as colorful and bright as a game like Minish Cap or Wind Waker.
But even Majora's Mask was comedic. Like, I mean, Tingle.
Tell me Tingle. Tell me Tingle was serious.
Well, yeah, but
greedy, dark.
They're bound to include some comedy aspects, but I still feel like the main game was dark. You're on a time limit, like, if we're talking just Majora's Mask right now, you're on a time limit, and if you don't reach this time limit, then the frickin' moon is gonna crash into the earth and kill everyone.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's got more of a darker vibe, which
the only ones that really have that dark, gritty vibe that I can remember, prove me wrong if I am, is Majora's Mask and Twilight Princess.
Ocarina of Time.
Yes, but Ocarina of Time, kinda, but it was not as gritty as that.
Yeah, it wasn't as gritty, but still, once you go to the Temple of Time and whatever, and when you wake up in the future, there's a bunch of zombies everywhere that try and kill you, and you have to, like, try and save the frickin' kingdom or whatnot.
I guess, but still, that's...
It was more dark, is what I'm thinking. And that, I mean, that's my personal, like, I would prefer that rather than a game of Wind Waker. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that Wind Waker is a bad game, necessarily. It's just not a game that I like.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that, yeah. You know, I can see that, you know. The point with Zelda is that every game is so different, you know, that you can like one game and hate the rest of the games. Because,
yeah.
And that's what I like about it, though. I like every game's different because it's not... I think The Legend of Zelda is kind of just an excuse to experiment with mechanics in games, you know? Because look at Mario. There's no dark Mario game, you know? They're all save the princess, do this, and do some platforming. With Zelda, they could release a platformer, and, you know, we would never even expect it. We'd never be like, oh, wow, Zelda's not normally a platformer. We wouldn't do that because all the games are so different, and that's good. They can really experiment with The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
And usually what they do is they make a good game when they experiment with it, you know?
Yeah.
I think, like, if you look at the reviews for all of the games, they're usually, you know, generally liked because,
you
know...
Yeah, they're all usually positive.
Yeah.
It's just certain people prefer different things.
Yeah.
And I feel like you... As like, what you were saying with how there's so much versatility and how you could literally have any genre be a Zelda game and people wouldn't question it. That's kind of the magic with Zelda, but some people would prefer more gritty versions, some people prefer more cartoony versions, and stuff like that. So I see where you come from. But yeah.
Uh-huh.
You got anything to say, Tanner?
Nope.
Well, okay then. Jeez. Take a little look at your notebook and see if we have another thing that we can work on for the, what, next 14 minutes?
Wii Sports.
Wii Sports? Okay. I mean, yeah.
Great game, play it. All right, let's go to the next thing. indie games.
Oh, yeah, I wrote this down last night, and I thought it was a really interesting thing to talk about. This sort of elaborates more on, like, Cuphead.
Play Celeste.
Hmm?
If you have a Switch, play Celeste.
Oh,
great
okay.
game.
Cuphead is an indie game. Back on Xbox 360, you had an entire marketplace for indie games that you could play, and the games worked so well, and I really respect indie developers because they don't have a huge budget to work on, but they can still make these fantastic games.
Yeah, like Stardew Valley. Great game. I would recommend it. It's available on a lot of platforms. Just go get it. It's great. Do some research, actually, to see if you like it. But it's great. That was made by one guy. And I'm pretty sure. I can check. But I'm pretty sure it was made by one guy. And it's such a good game. And it really shows, you know, how good an indie game can be by the right developers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think indie games really just show the soul. Like, we were talking earlier, I don't know if it was this one, but, like, the passion with Radical Heights might just not be there.
Yeah, that was this.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, indie games really show how much a game can do with passion. Well, if you look at bad indie games and good indie games,
Like, if there was an indie battle royale game made just to get some money, you could probably tell that it wasn't a good indie game based on how bad it is, because the indie developer didn't have the heart in there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of sort of gray space in the indie game market, because a lot of indie developers have kind of moved on, and they don't really make a lot of games anymore, which is kind of upsetting, because some of these games, like, was Castle Crashers an indie game?
Oh, yeah, that was.
Yeah, like, which I is think, great like, Castle game. Crashers, it was fantastic, but they haven't worked on it in so long. I don't know if they've even worked on another game recently, other than the remastered version for the Xbox One.
Yeah. Which it's really sad, because that was a really good team. You know, they made that Alien game. I don't remember what it's called. They made Battle Block Theater. They made Castle Crashers. They were a great developer. It's sad to see them not really make anything. Yeah, and you know, they really being the was really good. I missed their games. It was really good. You know.
Battle Block Theater was one of my favorite games. It still is.
I never played it, actually. I just heard it's really good.
Oh,
I've always wanted to try it.
Yeah, it's a great game. There's so much you can do with it, and there's a bunch of different levels that are really entertaining. All the dialogue and cutscenes are super funny. And it's just really a laid-back game that we can, that you can sit down and play it with friends and just have a bunch of laughs. And I think that's really great about it, is that it's meant to be a game that you play with others, but you can still play it by yourself. And I feel like that's a game that really shines, even if it's an indie game. And, like, I don't know. I even if these indie, they might not be super popular, but they still shine brightly.
Yeah, I get that. It looks like we're almost out of time. Do you guys have any small topics to talk about? What? A 15-minute mark.
Tanner, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Nope.
Alright, well, guess what?
So boring.
Yeah, I was saying you're probably not going to be here next time, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about Karma in games.
Oh, Karma. Okay.
Karma, I hate and I love. I love it when it's done right, but I hate it when Infamous 2 and Infamous 1 are two of my favorite games. I never played Second Son, because I don't have a PS4, but...
It was a great game.
But the entire Karma system goes down to, are you a dick, or are you a decent person? It's not, are you good, or are you evil? And it does feel like, at times, you know, it does do it right, because, like, killing people makes your life so much easier in the game, you know? But doing the good thing makes it a little harder, but it's not harder enough. Like, for example... Let's go to a real-life karma situation. You're running in a fire, and you're like a you have decent strength. You could save someone, or you could let someone die and get out, right? Now, you know what most people are gonna do will be the more evil action, which is let someone die and get out. But it would be really hard. You'd risk your life, and it'd be really hard to go save that person. But ultimately, that's the good thing. You'd save somebody's life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in games, it's never that. In games, the choice is, are you going to kill that person, or are you just going to walk out? It's never, are you going to save them, you know?
Yeah.
It boils down to, are you a dick or not a dick? That's what I don't like.
We kind of talked about this game this game in our first episode, which is Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
And something that I really liked that they did, I don't know if they've done this in the second game, but in
they
the first
didn't.
Game...
They removed it to not guilt players.
Yeah, in the first game, they made it where if you kill more cops, you become more of a...
You become less of a vigilante and more of just a criminal.
Yeah, you become a criminal, and cops recognize you easier. You start to get more notoriety.
But yeah, if you go around people, they will randomly be scared, but if you do good things, they will take pictures of you.
Yeah, and if you get up to, like, the best thing, which is what, like, protector?
Vigilante. No, I'm up at the best thing. It's vigilante.
Oh, okay. Like, you get... the game gets so much easier, but it's so hard not to keep this, like, I want to kill.
Yeah, unless you have Focus On, which during high-speed chases, that's just how you don't hit players.
Yeah, I mean,
not plays for people.
Yeah, I mean, the game, I don't know. I liked that aspect of it where you actually had to care about your decisions rather than just having it be a run and gun.
Yeah, which I hate that Watch Dogs 2 didn't do that. Because mm-hmm. I like it how in the game, you know, you can kill people a lot, you know. You can kill people and it's fine. And I feel like they kind of had to do that because in the high-speed chases, you could do focus back in Watch Dogs 1 to avoid hitting people. You can't do that in Watch Dogs 2 because they have Hacker Net, which I think so kind of bounces out. But I don't know, just I miss it because, you know, in Watch Dogs, you know, 2, you just don't really, doesn't really feel, I said this before in the first one, doesn't really feel as alive. The city doesn't feel as alive. In Watch Dogs 2, yeah. Everyone does, they got certain elements right, you know, but every NPC reacts the same. Eventually, the main place you spend the most time, you eventually just get used to, and I don't know, I've been to San Francisco and it feels a bit more alive, but everyone does the same thing. Civilians never truly stand up to you if you kill someone. They never go up and truly try to fight you. They just kind of say, they give you a slight nudge. And I don't know, just don't feel alive.
I mean, if you really think about it, it's kind of hard to, like, code that into a game to have a bunch of these different reactions to it. Because that would take so much work.
Yeah, but in GTA, when you do something like, if you kill somebody, you could have someone go up and legitimately try to kill you. The people in Watch Dogs, because you killed someone, they will actually try to knock you out, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll put in an effort. People in Watch Dogs, too, just kind of nudge you.
But, I mean, if you also think about it, like, GTA 5, they've had a bunch of games to work on this, and GTA 5 from 4, I think, was in the making for, what, 6 years? So they had time to perfect this.
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like they went down from Watch Dogs 1. Because in Watch Dogs 1, it felt alive because your actions made the NPCs change how you look at you. That never happens in Watch Dogs 2, you know? Unless there was, like, a thing where there was, like, a couple minutes. I don't know, I feel like Watch Dogs 2, when it comes to that, was just a step down. But in the gameplay, no story, it's way better, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I like the different, like, way of hacking in Watch Dogs 2. I feel like it's a lot smoother. And I like how you can have a bunch of different side missions and stuff like that. You can do it at any point in the game. So I think that they did that really well. But I do wish that they had the sort of notoriety meter that they did in Watch Dogs 1. Because it added another aspect. Like, if people saw you on the streets and you were a criminal, they would call the cops and you would have to run and get out of their scans and stuff to try and find you because hacker. And I don't know, I really enjoyed that because it was a great gameplay mechanic, and I don't know, I feel like that was just, it hadn't really been done as much before. Like, sure, you could be in, like, GTA, you would have stars, and that was like, oh, if you kill someone, then you have a star, cops are chasing after you. But I feel like Watch Dogs was a little bit more realistic with it, where they have these scans going out to try and find you, and, like, the police can actually lose sight of you. A lot easier if you actually know how to maneuver. And you can also, like, enable these road spikes or blocks to stop police from catching up to you. You can open bridges so that nobody can cross, and you can jump across, basically. And I don't know, I feel like that was a great, just the way that you could actually interact with the NPCs worked so well. And there's, later in the game, you start meeting more people, stuff happens, and then you have to find different spots that you can hide. And I feel like that's really good.
But yeah, and we're kind of running out of time, but yeah, I'm just going to cut this short and say, you know, Watch Dogs did not get the recognition it deserved. Mm-hmm. It did a lot right, and people just didn't really pay attention to it. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, we're
say good, and Tanner, say goodbye, because
Tanner, say bye.
Bye.
If you sneeze during this podcast, bless you.
Consume
tight. I'm Sully.
And I'm Levi.
And we will see you in the next
Tanner.
One.
I'm Tanner. I'm here too.
Yeah, but you're a guest, so you don't get to say that. Oh, bye, guys. Nice.